This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bell, and Bo is missing. Yes, that's right, folks. Bo is trapped in another timeline, and so this week you get me. And only me. So let's have some fun with this. We'll jump right into the rundown.
The rundown.
All right. Episode 4 of Season 9, The Mask of the Red Death, Part 1. This one was directed by Minaj Huda, and the story was by Joshua V. Gilbert and Emily Palizzi. And this episode, we have Roy Bibelot and the Speedster, now calling herself the Red Death, capture Barry and cause a citywide blackout. While imprisoned, Barry learns that Red Death's speed is artificial and tells Mark that it isn't too late to come back from his mistakes. Ryan goes to Iris, but Iris realizes that she is Red Death. Ryan reveals that she is from an alternate timeline where she and Flash became enemies. After being rejected from the Speed Force, she landed in Iris's timeline and wants to use the cosmic treadmill to return home and use Iris as bait for her timeline's Flash. Red Death brings Iris to her hideout and threatens her life in order to coerce Barry into powering the treadmill, causing a lightning storm. Mark sabotages the treadmill and is beaten by the rogues while Team Flash evacuates Barry and Iris. Meanwhile, after seeing Cecile use her powers to rescue Jenna from the storm, Joe agrees to remain in Central City. Chester and Allegra agree to talk as soon as the Red Death is defeated. And finally, Red Death vows to bring war to the Flash. Dun dun dun! Yes, that's right, folks. Roy Bibelot has come back. That's all I'm going to talk about this episode, because we talked about it last week, where we were looking for some more rogues, and I think Roy was one of the ones that we mentioned, and we actually got him this week, which was pretty neat. So yeah, it's nice to see some of these old rogues make some comebacks. And I think this was the original Roy Bibelot, not like an alternate timeline version. So that was pretty neat. Other interesting things this episode. Gotta say this: we've seen Jenna for the first time since she was a baby, which I'm guessing, you know, it's harder and harder to get child actors that young. But hey, you know, now she's old enough that they can actually show that. And we might as well get that C-plot out of the way. But yes, all of the strife and marital problems that Joe's move out of Central City was causing is now comfortably resolved. And we don't have to worry about that anymore, which, I mean, come on. Were they really going to move away? Honestly, I thought maybe, but it seems like that's not going to be the case. I'm sure Cecile's going to have some important role in the future, as she is, you know, a really powerful meta. And we'll see what happens there. But yeah, no moving, none of that. We don't have to worry about those problems. So, and Jenna, we got to see Jenna. That was pretty cool. But yeah, let's get back to our main storyline here. So we have, the reveal of Red Death, Barry getting imprisoned, and we find out that the Red Death's connection to the Speed Force is artificial. It's not real. And what it appears is that connection is linked to the suit and not to Ryan herself. Because I think this is right. When we saw Ryan with Iris, she didn't use any super speed to like disarm her. Because I mean, she's Batwoman. It's not like she'd need to. Not saying that Iris isn't, you know, totally awesome. And she, you know, definitely has been able to, you know, pull guns on people and stuff like that. But I mean, Iris is not Batwoman. So she was disarmed there. And then the suit, we have this really cool sort of, you know, animated sequence of the suit like getting on her. And I think that's where the Speed Force is located. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be essential in the future in defeating her. Another thing that's interesting about that is it'll mean that metacuffs wouldn't work. I don't know if they'd work any. Well, yeah, with an artificial connection to the Speed Force, I don't know if they'd work anyway on a speedster who has an artificial connection. But yeah, it's something interesting. But yeah, Mark completes the cosmic treadmill, and we have Barry being kidnapped and forced to run on it. Otherwise, you know, Red Death's going to kill Iris, and nobody wants that. I thought the backstory between Ryan and Iris, I thought that little bit was really really interesting. There, you could tell almost immediately that Iris is like, I don't know about her. This doesn't seem right. And I really like that because, you know, Iris has this, you know, this journalistic mind, this investigatory journalism, you know, in her. And it's nice to see her kind of like, you know, put those clues together almost immediately and be suspect of her. And so, you know, I thought that was really, really good. I liked how they did that. I kind of wish she had pulled the trigger earlier on the gun. That would have been, I mean, it sort of would have, you know, pulled this graphic novel to a close. But hey, what are you going to do? Back to Mark and back to the cosmic speed mill. The cosmic treadmill and Barry being kidnapped there. This redemption story that we have of Mark and, you know, Barry's insistence on using words instead of fists, which, you know, it's positive message, right? That, you know, we should do that in our lives. But, you know, this is a superhero, right? He wants to try and Barry wants to try and talk to Red Death and find out how he can, you know, help her. And, you know, he wants to talk to Mark and say, hey, it's never too late to have a second chance. And I'm like, isn't this Mark's third second chance? Second or third? I mean, he was a bad guy, and then he fell in love with Frost, and he sort of had like a redemption there, and he was kind of like, you know, not a bad guy anymore, and then he was buddy-buddy with Flash, and then betrayed Flash, and then betrayed Red Death. I mean, he's had lots of second chances, and now he's dead. Although, I don't know if that's the case either. We saw the boomerang come down, look like it was stabbing him, but, you know, I'm of the opinion where if you don't see a body, it's not a dead person. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, I don't know what they did with him. So that's something that we'll have to see in the future. But yeah, a lot of cool information about Red Death's backstory. It seems like, you know, Ryan was straight up lying and making the Flash to be the villain. But, you know, in actuality, she's sitting there, you know, doing the whole Minority Report pre-crime stuff and arresting people before they even commit crimes. And I'm sure the Flash, you know, who is a paragon of justice, you know, he doesn't put people in the pipeline for months and months and months. Roy Bibolo, or anything like that. No. He, you know, he wouldn't stand for that. No. He's all about justice. And so, you know, the irony there is just too much for me. I love it. But yeah, so clearly it was Ryan who had the snap and who basically made Flash her enemy. Yeah, interesting also that she tried to escape into the Speed Force, was shot into our timeline, which is interesting. So it's also kind of a diversion from the comics. I want to say in the comics, Red Death used the cosmic treadmill to steal the speed from the Flash by like running a Batmobile into the cosmic treadmill, something interesting like that. But yeah, a little departure there. Yeah, all in all, the power wide, you know, citywide power outage causes problems. Our teammates can't find Flash. You know, we have a call to the Rogues on a little used radio frequency, which was kind of interesting. I'm assuming that radios were unaffected by the blackout, which is good to know in case, you know, further blackouts happen. But our team of heroes finally, once the cuffs are taken off, appear with a magic teleporter, because I always forget that Allegra has those little magic teleporters. That's a nice little thing to have there. Well, they show up, and of course, this is Mark's, you know, second or third redemption, and he sabotages the cosmic treadmill, causing a burst of lightning and Speed Force energy to overcome Red Death and short out her suit for the time being. But it also knocks out Flash's speed, which is a very convenient thing to happen. I guess the way, you know, when you have a character like the Flash who's basically a god, you kind of have to like turn off his powers somehow in some way. Otherwise, that would have been a very unremarkable end of the episode where he just arrests everybody, including Ryan, and everything is back to normal and good to go. But anyway, yeah, so Barry lost his speed. He tried to go get Mark, and his team would not let him, and they teleported away. And so now we have a situation where Mark is presumed dead, and the team, you know, have to try and figure out a way to defeat Red Death, find out her next move, and prevent that from happening. Meanwhile, Red Death and her team of rogues are deciding, since, well, I can't go home, I'm just gonna, you know, instead of taking my ball and leave, I'm going to take your city and leave. And by leave, I mean destroy it. So yeah, interesting. So we have the Mask of the Red Death part two, where we will conclude this story arc. So I think we're setting up here for a pretty interesting battle between Flash's rogues and Team Flash plus the Flash rogues, the Frogues. Yes, we'll call them the Frogues. And Red Death and her rogues. They seem to have sort of, you know, equal powers there. Still don't know whether or not Mark is going to come back. He didn't seem to have a proper send-off. It was a very abrupt sort of ending, and then like, oh yeah, he's dead and we're all sad. Granted, you know, he's got a spot in the opening of the of the show. So I feel like there's going to be more there. I feel like he's not maybe dead. There's something else that we're going to get from him. So yeah, all in all, it was a fun episode. I liked the suit kind of Iron Manning itself, for lack of a better term, to Ryan. That was pretty neat. We got to see the Cosmic Treadmill again. We got to see Roy Bivolo again. It was super fun. And, you know, got to see Jenna and Superpower Mama Cecile, which I'm kind of wondering, like, why she isn't more hanging out with Team Flash. I don't know if it's because they don't really have a way to power her down and make it not, like, overpowered for her to be there. It just seems sort of weird. And I know Joe and Cecile have been having sort of arguments about that. And, you know, but that's clearly out of the way now. So I feel like Cecile's going to be big in this fight in the next episode. We also have Chester and Allegra. Yeah, you know, the will they, won't they. It's just, you know, can we just be done with this, please? Please? Can they just, you know, I guess, share their feelings and just, you know, this will they, won't they is getting kind of tired. It's like, oh, they're going to talk together. And then it's like, oh, how can we talk after this, after, you know, Mark died and Red Death. And so they're, okay, fine, we'll talk afterwards. And so I feel like they're dragging that little plot line out just a little too much for my taste. But yeah, all in all, fun episode. Some really neat sort of tech things that we saw there with the suit for Red Death. Interesting, you know, lightning storms and whatnot. So we're going to have a big throwdown next episode, and so I think that should be fairly fun. It'll be nice to see, like, you know, a lot of rogues fighting and stuff like that. We're gonna have a big sort of team fight going on with Team Flash and the Frogues and Red Death and her rogues, and maybe some Cecile in there. Maybe Mark's not dead, maybe he'll show up, and hopefully Iris is gonna have some, like, you know, giant gun to be shooting at people. But yeah, all in all, it was an enjoyable episode. And yeah, I looking forward to the big fight and the conclusion of this Red Death storyline. I feel like this is probably going to be the end of this graphic novel, or perhaps there's going to be one episode after this to sort of draw everything into conclusion. But so far, it's been an interesting storyline. Kind of interesting to start the season off with Red Death, but you know, that's a choice. Certainly was a choice. But but yeah, I think that's gonna do it for this episode. Let us know how you feel about the episode. You can tweet me at Twitter at Ring That Bell. Let us know what you thought and what you're looking forward to in The Mask of the Red Death Part 2. But don't worry, hopefully next week both of us will be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.